Togoza, hello, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 1 of the Indigenous Corner. This is a space where we engage, reflect, and expand our knowledge on all things related to traditional and Indigenous wisdom, including spirituality and cultural practices. Our goal here is simple. It is to grow the body of knowledge on African spiritual, traditional, and cultural systems so that those seeking understanding can find an accessible and well-rounded home for these teachings. My name is Gogozi Potolamo, and I am your host. Ninjani, I hope you are well, and I hope you are well-grounded wherever you are listening from. Now, many of you have been following our podcasting journey will note a very glaring and very obvious change, and that is our rebrand and the renaming of our podcast from Gogo Have I Been Scammed to the Indigenous Corner. Now, Gogo Have I Been Scammed was a platform that initially focused on traditional spirituality, including but not limited to scams within the space. We have now taken the direction of expanding the body of knowledge for it to be much more holistic, covering broader themes that affect our traditional, cultural, and spiritual identities. Today, as we start this brand new chapter of our podcast, we speak on a topic that speaks directly to our ancestors, to our history, and to justice itself. Today, we're speaking about land redistribution. Land is not just the soil beneath our feet. It is the lifeline of a people. It holds the bones of our ancestors, the echoes of our histories, and the spiritual ties that define who we are. And yet for centuries, Africans have been systematically dispossessed of their land, first through colonial theft, then through apartheid legal structures, and now through capitalist gatekeeping. Recent conversations around South African land redistribution have sort of reignited old tensions, tensions that are rooted, unfortunately, in some dangerous myths and untruths. One of the more glaring examples of this is the insistence of the current president of the United States of America in inserting himself in South Africa's business. And by this, I mean he has openly made false claims about white farmers being under attack and being under siege in South Africa currently. Now, I don't want you to think that President Trump's utterances start in 2025. No, absolutely not. Way back in 2018, I think, President Trump started on his rampage on farm killings way back when, spreading misinformation and really spreading the propaganda. Now, the curious thing is that back in 2018, Trump's utterances really started following the delegation of the AfriForum, which was sent to the US. So a few months after that, President Trump started to speak about injustices that are happening in South Africa and so forth and so forth. Now, I do want to categorically say that these claims are false. There are no white bulls that are being currently oppressed. None of them are being oppressed in this country right now. And unfortunately, their claims to oppression and of oppression really come from radical ideologies that have, unfortunately, over the years, influenced foreign policy, economic sanctions, further entrenching inequality, and delaying justice from rightful victims. What we should be asking, instead of focusing on what Dan Corden calls the demented Nazi's utterances, what we should be focusing on really is who owns the land, who should own the land, and more importantly, Why does the discourse on redistribution often negate ancestral lands that were forcibly taken from their constituents? When discussing this idea of land redistribution, it has worn or had many names before in the South African legislature, before, the language of redistribution emerged. It was the idea of land expropriation without compensation, political views that can be pointed to very specific radical party leaders such as Julius Malema. All of this information is out there. I do encourage audiences of this platform specifically to go and engage with the wealth of resources that is available online and the various perspectives that shape the conversation on land redistribution or the conversations that frame land expropriation without compensation, etc. However, what I do want to really emphasize on here is the overemphasis on commercial farmland and the glaring oversight remains the deep connection individuals have to their ancestral land. What about the lands that hold our ancestors? What about the burial sites of our forefathers, now hidden in game reserves, privatized farms, and luxury estates? What about communities who have lived on the same land for generations, only to be forcibly removed to make way for lodges, wildlife tourism, etc.? Why does this conversation about redistribution rather really acknowledge these legitimate claims? We need to expand the conversation beyond farmland and challenge the oversight that disregards the spiritual and historical significances of ancestral land. If we are talking about land justice, then it must be holistic. We must also speak about those who are forcibly removed from lands that are not necessarily commercial farmlands, but were their ancestral lands in any case. Fortunately or unfortunately, when we are in a South African context, we don't have to look far for examples of injustices. Just the other day, I came across a tweet by News24, and they were reporting that the Eastern Cape government plans to lease a portion of a state-owned Malembo Airport in Bisho to a leader of the United Emirates and his family, who are expected to share the airport with the military and police's air wing unit. In response, Twitter user Nkululeko Mahlaba shared some of his personal family history. He said, "My maternal grandfather was removed by the apartheid government from this land to build the airport, which forced him to become a migrant worker in Port Elizabeth. Our family claim has been pending for 20 years, and they ask us to resubmit certified documents every 2 years. Most of our aunts and uncles have passed. What an injustice." Similarly, another Twitter user who goes by the name of Ubomi Abumanga shared a deeply personal story that resonated with many. Ubomi Abumanga said, "My grandpa was removed from his farm and placed in a township with a matchbox house. The white occupant, though, had a deal. We could keep our livestock on the farm. Every week, our goats got lost and never his. My call for land is personal." Another painful example comes from Twitter user The Face of Africa. "At home, we have to ask the son of a white man who took our grandfather's home farm from him to visit our family's graves. He only allows us 2 visits a year." To which another Twitter user, at Purple Oracle, responded, "We got an order to exhume our grandfather from and remove him from the farm. We are tired of begging to see his grave and being restricted in what and where we are allowed to do. So we took him to a cemetery close to the farm, still far from home, but it's better than asking for permission. Stories like these just, I mean, if current South Africans are speaking about people as close in proximity to them as their grandparents, surely we must see the seriousness of our land and our history being forcibly taken from us. And by land and history, I mean physically removing people from land. Recent South African history, if it is being taught in schools right now, we have examples that we can point to that these migrant workers that were moved, or these people that were migrant workers were moved from their home farms, from their luscious and fertile lands, only to be put in matchbox houses here. If South Africans, if Black South Africans can point to histories so painful but so close in proximity, then we have no choice but to engage the topic and the discussion in and around redistribution or land redistribution, particularly if we are interested in preserving our own personal heritage. And I suppose in maintaining the ethos of the close connection that one average South African must have to their heritage. If we take away land from people, we've taken away heritage. We've taken away, the resting place of your elders and ancestors. We've taken away your place of prayer. We've taken away a place of meditation. We've taken away so much. And only for the recipients of this land to turn around and say 30 years later that they are the ones that are oppressed. Sorry, how? How are you the ones who are oppressed when abantwana bemizi funeka bazoguqa kuwe? Literal people's descendants have to come and kneel before you so that you can give them permission to visit the land that was forcibly taken by your ancestor from theirs. Absolutely not. Make it make sense. I think before I get too passionate and too into this topic, a prudent way to move forward is to ask ourselves, where do we go from here? What happens now? How do we, having looked at some of these case by case individual testimonies of people's families, grandparents who have been removed from land and so forth, how do we ensure that land justice includes historical and ancestral claims? How do we do that? They one of the users spoke about, one of the people giving us a testimony spoke about having to remove and to exhume their ancestor from their ancestral land and put them in a cemetery. We can speak about the sociocultural implications of that another time. But the question that comes to my head, and the land experts can really feel free to weigh in here, does that not delegitimize my claim to that ancestral land? Say I am the one that has removed and exhumed my great grandfather for whatever reason. Does that not delegitimize my claim to that land? But additionally, what is it that I'm going to do if my ancestor's grave is on this land and I need to make appearances at that grave, but I need to get permission? These are some of the things that we are asking. What is the way forward from here? And I think if I were to be the one giving solutions currently right now, I would say that firstly, we need to continue to push for clear policies that recognize indigenous and ancestral land claims. If my ancestor is buried on a specific land site, and we know that the culture of the people abalapha who live in this dwelling or in this community is to bury their loved ones on their property, I should then surely be able to make claim of a piece of land that I can prove belongs and belonged to our family for generations. This also means that we need to hold politicians accountable when they speak about land redistribution. You know, what do they mean by that? Are we merely reshuffling ownership? Are we saying that anyone can get land? How are we processing these land claims? Secondly, I think it is important for us to be cognizant and to know our histories. We need to know the history of our land. Education is power. We need to know the history of our land. And we need to be, and through the knowledge of this history, we are then able to reclaim what is rightfully ours. So in that knowledge lies the truth and the essence of where we come from. That should be able to assist us in reclaiming what is ours. You know, there are still communities that are fighting for recognition of their ancestral land rights. We must support efforts like that. We must support people who are bringing forth claims and saying that we are ancestrally linked to this piece of land by A, B, and C. And finally, I think, you know, where do we go from here, and what do we do from this point onwards is to unequivocally accept that land and people are connected spiritually. Our traditional practices require access to sacred places. Some of these places have been taken from us. We need that acknowledgement, Jobuti. Umhlaba really holds our spirituality. And as healers, you know, being displaced from our indigenous environments cannot necessarily be prudent in achieving quality indigenous healing and indigenous health. So the more we are dispossessed from our lands, I believe, the less likely we are able to function efficiently as healers and to give back in to this community and to the community of people and health seekers in ways that don't harm them. We need to be able to access our land. We must continue to demand access to our spaces, and we must continue to reclaim what is ours. As we close off today's episode, I want to leave you with the thought that land is more than property. It is identity, it is memory, and it is spirit. If we are to heal people, we must start with truth, justice, and reclamation. And with that, we wrap up this edition of the Indigenous Corner. To continue the conversation, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under the handle at the Indigenous Corner. Remember that you can find our latest episodes on the Sowetan website under the podcast tab or across all digital streaming platforms.